Well, as we know, physicians like to learn by case study, and we had the opportunity to meet with one of Dr. Sweet's patients, Derek, who lives in Liberal, Kansas. His story will shed light on our discussion of the treatment-naive patient.
Liberal, Kansas, it's a great family town. If you're single and a college kid, there's not quite as much to do. I was first diagnosed with HIV back in 2003. When I went to give blood, I actually got a letter saying that I needed to contact the health department, and we made an appointment, and then we discussed the test results from what they had found. When I was first diagnosed, the doctor at the health clinic, she wasn't real specific on the treatment. The way it was explained to me is that a lot of people can live with it and not really have any effects of it because it was in the early stages of HIV. I started on treatment for HIV in March of 2007 when I ended up in the hospital for pneumonia. I was started on the regimen that I know to bring up my CD4 count. I take 2 pills a day for my HIV and everything, and I live a perfectly normal life. I've never been on medication on a daily basis, but now that I've gotten into the swing of things, it's kind of like a routine. You know, I wake up and I take my medication, and then before I go to bed at night, I take my medication.
Wait a second. All right.
The only real side effect that I have noticed is I ended up with a slight rash on my back. And then I went to the doctor and they gave me a cream for it.
How long are you guys?
I love him, he's the best. He's my best friend in the whole world. Since Derek has started the HIV treatment, I have noticed an increase in his energy level. His eating habits are back. He eats like a horse.
Exactly right. There you go.
Now that I'm on treatment and I'm doing well, I'm a new person. It's made drastic changes in my life. The biggest change that I've noticed since I've been on treatment and actually feeling healthy has been vocally for me as a musician.
Yeah, actually, you know, I keep forgetting your voice getting lower. Go to F. Start at F.
Okay. So my voice dropped a little bit. I'd always been a tenor all my life, and then now I'm more of a baritone. My voice is so much bigger and a lot stronger because I feel so much better. Music makes me feel happy. You know, I'll grab one of my books and just play because it's just the way that I take my mind off of everything that's going on around me. I feel that God does have a plan for me. You can live a normal life with HIV. People think it's a death sentence. It's really not.
Derek's case brings up, I think, 2 very important things. One, when he was first given the diagnosis or told that he was screen positive back in 2003, he walked away not realizing that he should be in care. He was not triaged into a care system. So he spent the next 4 years getting sicker and having symptoms and not realizing that he probably should be under medical attention. With that said, he was a very sick young man when he came in, but he has done exceptionally well. And I think that's what we always have to remember about naive patients. When we say naive, what we are talking about is they've never had exposure to these very good antiretroviral medications. So you treat aggressively their underlying infection, that which has made them so sick, and you start good antiretroviral therapy. As he said, he's doing this well now on just 2 pills a day. He's on a combination pill that has 3 classes, or the 2 from the backbone and the non-nucleoside reverse transcriptase inhibitor, and he's on a sulfa drug to prevent recurrence of his pneumonia until we can get his CD4 count back up over 200. So the important thing, I think, to learn is that you don't give up early on a naive patient, and even in a sick, naive patient, these drugs work so exceptionally well that you can get people's quality of life back pretty quickly.
Well, once a patient has been started on antiretroviral therapy, what's the monitoring process? How often should they be monitored?
And I always put a name on what we actually go for in this situation. That's what's called undetectable. We want to get our patients to a viral load that is, in fact, lower than what the current laboratory tests can quantitate, and that's 50 copies of virus. That is something that is sometimes confused as being called negative or zero, but it's important, I think, to reiterate to practitioners and to persons who are positive, is that the goal is undetectable, meaning that the virus can no longer be found right by our current test. The immune system has a wonderful way of being able to reconstitute itself, to put itself back together once we take the viral pressure off of it, and that makes it such that we can follow the T-cell count going back up and the immune system recovering. The other tests we do commonly are looking for oftentimes the short-term side effects and some of the longer-term side effects associated with the medications themselves. We'll talk more about that, I'm sure, in a few minutes.
And in fact, I mean, at least in my practice, and I think most clinicians, we see our patients depending upon where they are in their therapy. When I first start someone, I'm going to be seeing them back each month, and I will do a viral load each month, because one of the things I tell my patients, and it's just a rule of thumb, that if you've picked a good regimen, the right regimen, and they're able to take it appropriately, you should see a tenfold drop, what we call a one log drop, every 30 days. So if I have somebody with 100,000 virus and they take the regimen, a month later I would hope it to be 10,000, the next month 1,000, and truly by the third month I'm hoping for undetectable. So in that first 3 months I'm going to be seeing them more often. If indeed they hit undetectable, they're taking the regimen, not having problems, some of our, what I call my well baby checks, because people come in, they're the healthiest people in my practice. They do that every 3 months, they get the appropriate immunizations, and they get their medicines refilled, and they come back 3 months later.
Right. And one should imagine that for almost everyone newly started on medications, if they take the medication successfully, they should reach an undetectable viral load in 16 to 24 weeks. So we're talking about in the first 4 to 6 months of therapy.
And I think the thing that both I've heard here is that doing the testing frequently not only reassures the physician that the medications are working by those log drops every 30 days. But this is also a very important time, especially if a patient's starting off asymptomatic from the infection, but perhaps a low CD4 cell count, to see that their immune system is rebuilding.
On the other side of that, one has to educate them over not living and breathing the numbers too much.
Right. Yeah.
We see blips. We will see a virus that's less than 50 be 75. That is a blip, and we can simply monitor that, recheck in a month, make sure that it's not continuing to go up. Also, CD4 counts. CD4 counts are biologic variables, so they should never start worrying because they went from 350 to 320. I mean, that's not a true change. So there's a lot of education that goes on about these numbers, and they don't understand that it's not horrific.